Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Welcome to the Vault Podcast. Classic music reviews presented by IV Creative. Now, here's your hosts, B. Cox and the crew.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vault Podcast, Classic Music Reviews, presented by IV Creative. It's a perspective of the classics from a fresh point of view. We appreciate you for taking your time and lending your ears to our perspective. You could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with us, so we thank you. With you today is yours truly, B. Cox, and I'm back. I'm back, and welcome to 2025. Ladies and gents, thank you all so much for being patient with me. We have made a return here to the Vault Classic Music Reviews podcast. It was a busy 2024, to say the least. And yes, we took a bit of a hiatus in the latter half of the year of 2024. Did only put out one episode to open our season 7 so far, but we're back at it. And in 2025, we have an ambitious and also very exciting schedule for you all. Plan to bring a little bit more of the norm, what you expected, these more anniversary content, of course, of these landmark releases that have come out over the last 10, 15, and 20 years. But we're also going to have a couple other things, some interviews with some content creators, things based around music and culture and lifestyle. We want to bring you a little bit of everything coming into the vault this year in 2025. And we are heading into a year where we are now covering albums from the years 1995, 2000, and 2005, y'all. So we are really knee-deep into the new millennium and getting into some of the classics that were released in that year of 2005, and we're going to start that off with our opener for 2025 this year in Season 7. I want to remind all of you all to go visit us on vaultclassicpod.com. We're still there, y'all. Go check out the website, see all the back catalogs of all the episodes we've done now for the last 7 seasons, and coming up on this year in 2025 will be 6 years since we started the Vault Classic Music Reviews podcast in 2019 of August. Go check that out. Check out the back catalog. Also, go to our merchandise store there on the website. We got lots of things there. We're in the dead of winter here in the DMV. It has snowed in the beginning of this year. Snow is still on the ground. It still hasn't melted yet. And we're expecting a little bit of snow where I'm at right now as of where I'm speaking. But go check that out. Get the sweaters, hoodies, beanies. And also, we're going to be coming up on spring before you know it. So later on this winter, make sure you're placing that order for those t-shirts to get you ready for spring and summer, y'all. So again, vaultclassicpod.com, the website. Go check it out and link up with us. All of our social media channels are there as well. So follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, aka X. And then we'll let you know about the new social media channels we have going on into 2025. As we always say, you're on the vault. Our motto is hashtag open the vault and hashtag nothing but the classics, or MBTC. And as we head into a new year, covering a new slate of classics and potential classic albums here in 2025, we're going to kick this one off for this year in one that is a truly memorable album and a truly memorable period for one click in particular. And this one rapper definitely left his imprint on that click and on that time period. We're going to go back 20 years ago to January 18, 2005, and the debut studio album of none other than West Coast rapper The Game, straight out of Compton, The Documentary. Released on Aftermath Entertainment, G-Unit Records, and Interscope Records. Recorded between 2003 and 2004, with a runtime of almost 70 minutes at just under at 69 minutes and 57 seconds. The producers on this, it is an all-star list of producers, to say the least. And you talk about just at the top of it, the executive producer, Dr. Dre himself, the legend. But you also want to take a look at all the other names that appeared on this production list, and it really is an all-stars who's who's list of producers. The likes of Kool & Dre, Eminem, Havoc, High Tech, Just Blaze, Scott Storch, Kanye West, Louis Resto, Mike Elizondo, Timbaland, all of these producers making contributions to this extraordinarily produced album that definitely was out there when it came to the budget, and no expense was spared for all of these producing greats to lend their chops to this effort for a debut album and a rapper who was on a record label that was definitely hot to death during this period between 2003 into 2005. Some of the singles from the documentary, one that was jam-packed with singles that were all across the hip-hop and also the Billboard Hot 100. The first official single, West Side Story, released in September of 2004. How We Do, released in November 2004. Hate It or Love It, released in January 28, 2005. Higher, released in March 15, 2005. Dreams, produced by Kanye West, released June 7, 2005. And The Timbaland, produced and assisted Put You On The Game, released August 30th, 2005. Six singles officially put out there from this debut album, From The Game, the documentary. And just so that we can kind of go through a background of what we know about The Game, his story is very well known now, 20 plus years after his debut, but we'll just run it off for you. Game, native of Compton, California, as he reminds us and lets us know on so many different times, grew up basically by himself and had to raise himself from that point all the way to his debut, which was around 24, 25 years old. He got involved in The Game, obviously. When he got into his first incident in 2001, he was actually in a drug house at that time, or a trap house, if you want to call it, as they say now, where it was raided and invaded, and then he was shot in 2001. He spent a few days in a coma, and a few days later, after he came out of that coma, that's when he decided that he wanted to pursue a career in music. So what did he do? He had his brother bring him all of these classic albums he listened to when he was coming up, and it was really a big list of all the different classic albums that people from my era listened to that he decided to study when he was just coming out of this coma and recovering in the hospital from this shooting. He started listening, of course, to Reasonable Doubt, to Dre's 2001, Ready to Die, and study these albums. And he really used those albums as a blueprint to sort of pattern his own style and how he was going to make himself as a rapper now that he's going to be pursuing this career in music. Well, as time moved on, started recording music, he actually released mixtapes, was signed to Get Low Records along with JT the Bigger Figure, Bay Area rap star at that time, and he got noticed by Dr. Dre and discovered by Dr. Dre, which led to him signing The Game to Aftermath. Really, how he ended up on G-Unit wasn't an idea that was either 50 Cent's idea or wasn't Dre's idea. It was at the urging of Interscope record head and president, CEO, Jimmy Iovine. He knew to be able to pair a rap star that had the really all the elements that he needed to be a star. I mean, look at it. Game is a guy, has a unique story, has a story to sort of pattern after what 50 Stories was. Gangsta lifestyle, drug dealer, been shot, recovered and made it back from it, and definitely had a story to tell on wax and on records. Plus, he was good looking, tall, you know, had the lookings of what you wanted a major rap star to be. And knew that if you were going to pair that with somebody, you pair them with someone who was one of the hottest, if not the hardest, rap star in the game during that time, which was 50 Cent, who was bursting out of things with G-Unit. And let's also talk about what G-Unit was in the middle of in 2003 to 2005. Get Rich and Die Trying drops about 2 years before the documentary drops, burns up 2003. Beg for Mercy, the G-Unit collaboration album, comes out near the end of 2003, is immensely popular. Then in 2004, you have two more projects that are coming out that takes G-Unit and pushes it further into the public consciousness. Lloyd Banks, Hunger for More, Young Buck, Straight Outta Cashville, and the record label is off and running. And now you have The Game's documentary dropping at the beginning of 2005, where G-Unit is still immensely popular and where 50 Cent is still one of the hottest rappers in the game. And at this point, it's transitioning not just to a rap star in his own right, but then a label head and building a brand that will become a hip-hop staple over the next few years. So The Game is dead set right in the middle of this heater that his record label and clique that he's on is completely tearing up the charts everywhere they've been the last couple of years, and he's right smack dab in the middle of it. What it would do over the next few years for him would really lay a foundation into what The Game would be. And had it not been for a few things going on in regards to what happened within G-Unit, he could have probably stayed and made much a bigger career of it, but it wasn't meant to be. Because when you have someone like The Game and someone like 50 Cent, they are two distinct alphas. And when you have two alphas right there in the room, they cannot coexist with each other. And it's a shame because 50 did do a lot for this album. I mean, a lot of folks always argue and say that 50 is kind of like the co-author of the documentary. We'll go a little bit back into it when we talk about the production and everything of this album. We're going to go ahead and go into my first reflections about this.
First thoughts and reflections.
So my first thoughts on The Game's documentary. I was right in the middle of my last year in undergrad at Morgan State University. And when this album drops, I'm getting ready to start my last semester of college at Morgan. And I remember that this time, right before I'm getting ready to start school, I was commuting. So I had to go back and forth between Morgan and where I was at, right outside of D.C., which is about, give or take, about an hour drive or so. Sometimes traffic will be a little bit longer. So I remember going up to go meet up with my boy John. John and I actually were dorm mates my freshman year in our freshman dorm. John had actually moved on and was attending another college, Bowie State, not too far away from us. So he wasn't at Morgan anymore, but he was going to visit his boy at the time, dude who was actually still one of our classmates at Morgan. I go up and I just so happen John calls me and says, "Yo, man, I understand you've been coming up here the last couple of weekends. Are you here?" So I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here." So he calls me on my cell phone, tells me to come meet him at these apartments right down the street from Morgan where he lived actually. And I get there and, you know, his boy is there. They got food and stuff out. And of course, they had been smoking. So we decided to smoke, rolled up, and it boy pulled out the CD, the documentary, and he says, "Yo, have you heard this yet?" I'm like, "Nah, you got it?" He was like, "Yeah, I got it. It's actually in the car. Let me go run out real quick and I'll bring it in. We can sit here, smoke, roll, and we can listen to it." And then as he comes back in with the CD case and also the CD inside of it, and he says, "Dog, I'm telling you, what you about to listen to right next, in my opinion, his first couple of listens, he's like, it's kind of up there. I'm talking about some up there, like Reasonable Doubt up there, Biggie's Ready to Die up there, Nas, Illmatic up there for me, at least." He said, "Yo, West Coast is definitely one of the best joints put out within the last 10 years. So I'm like, I don't know. That's really big praise, right? But we're sitting there, we're getting into it. So we're smoking and we're listening to the album. And as the album starts up, man, things pick up and get to it pretty quickly. I mean, I was very thoroughly impressed. I mean, it could have been the weed smoking at the time, but I just remember being completely blown away, one by the production and then also by Game's pocket and his flow on a lot of these songs, man. It was amazing. And the first listen through, yeah, you're going to kind of give a little bit of like, you know, you're in this environment, you're smoking and everything else. I said, let me give it a little bit of time, because the first listen though, I was really blown away by it. And then I went home and actually got a copy of it, downloaded it on LimeWire, mind you. You know, burned it on CD and decided to listen to it periodically over the next couple of weeks. Now, I still turn it into the radio every once in a while there, so you couldn't escape the singles. They were all over the place. And once Game's album came out and things really started picking up and the video started coming out on Rap City and on 106 in part, you couldn't escape the Game anywhere, wherever you were going during that time period. And as I started listening to it more and more, my opinion of it didn't change that much. I think I adjusted a little bit once you hear that first couple of times, the euphoria from when you hear new music and you're hearing something fresh, that fresh sound. I still, blown away by the production and all the producers that were on there. The lyrics themselves, though, I had to give Game a lot of credit because he was telling us a very unique story. And it was uniquely in his voice, no matter how many times he name dropped people in this. And I'll get to that in just a little bit. But you could tell he had a very unique story, hence the title of the album, the documentary. It was a peek really into his life and also into his psyche. Lots of power-packed singles on there. The production on there, crazy. Also, the guest appearances on these, not just by 50 Cent, but also by the likes of Tony Yayo. You also have Marsha Ambrosius, Faith Evans, and Mary J. Blige all providing vocals on this. Nate Dogg, Busta Rhymes. I mean, lots of power-packed. Eminem also on this as well. I mean, a power-packed guest list. As I said, this had to be a very expensive album to produce. Considering the producers that were used and all the guest appearances, the money you had to put up. And it's a gamble on somebody who has never put out an album before. For you to spend that type of money, it better pay off. And I think it paid off handsomely. Because by the time this album came out within that spring, it was already close to platinum. And now we're standing at it. It's now 20 years later, it's 5 million records sold, and within the year, it was about double platinum. So it definitely paid off after all that gamble of having to definitely put through a production budget and feature budget that had to be out of this world, considering the names that we're talking about. But as the time has gone on, and Game's catalog has continued to progress, Doctor's Advocate, LAX there, Born to Rap were a few other ones that have been out there over the last few years. Everyone has sort of like, you know, looked at the Game and seen, you know, Split with G-Unit definitely had an effect, whether or not, you know, how much marketing he got on his album. So I kind of feel like Game had to do some things out there to sort of keep himself and his music in, you know, the spotlight, to keep him relevant. And what that translated to was, unfortunately for him, was him sort of, I guess, kind of doing some things. I don't want to say for clout, but there were some things, you know, social media posts. He was definitely famous for posting things on IG with these long ass captions. He took a lot of shots at people. I mean, him and 50 have taken shots of each other throughout the year. He's gotten to some beefs with some other people. He's talked about a lot of these new skit style rappers and the way that they rap and how rap has changed. And it hasn't really been anything that's matched up with the content that we've seen before in the documentary. Still solid releases, but nothing that has ever really come through as much as this done.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Now, in listening to this past week, what I kind of noticed is that this album to me is kind of, first half I think is really good, but the second half kind of it slows down a little bit. Content is still pretty good, but it just is not as even as I thought it was originally, but still a really solid release. And at that time, it made an impact and a mark on the industry as it was all over the charts. And now we're going to get into what my highlights and lowlights are.
Highlights and lowlights.
So my highlights and lowlights on this. As I mentioned before, this album started out, it started off like a bomb. Going in from the intro to West Side Story into Dreams. Like, the first half of this track listing is absolutely bananas. That's one thing I can say. Starting off from track number one all the way into track nine, you are hit with hit after hit after hit. Just the singles alone that I'm talking about with West Side Story, Dreams, Hate It or Love It, Higher, How We Do, Put You on the Game. And even the album cuts that weren't singles, Don't Need Your Love with Faith, and also Church for Thug, which is produced by Just Blaze, action past first half. That West Side Story, those pianos, shout out to Scott Storch on that. Those drums, that bass line, that famous Dre bass lines that you cannot escape on those. Dreams, and that sample by Kanye West, that Jerry Butler sample of No Money Down that we all remember and just is hypnotic over in our ears over and over again into our brains till we think about it, you know, that sample over and over again, which made that track. The great collaboration of Hate It or Love It, Higher, which is, you know, another Dr. Dre production that kind of, you know, is typical for him during that time. Great track. How We Do was a banger. It still is a banger now to this day. Put You on the Game with Timbo, which is an incredible track by Timbaland and is really signature for his type of sound. I would say Game got in a really good pocket on this one as well. Having Church for Thugs with Just Blaze is a change up, man. And I really think, man, Game probably did some of his best rapping on this one as well. That first half is crazy. Mind you, by the way, on all those singles that I just named, especially the big ones, the Higher, the How We Do, the Put You on the Game, Hate It or Love It, West Side Story, those hooks were all written by 50. So give 50 a big writing credit on that for making those songs go based on how those hooks were. Now, when you get into the second half of the album, to me, not as action-packed in regards to how hard-hitting the tracks are. As a matter of fact, you may tend to see your attention tailing off a little bit unless you really focus in on the content and the songs and what they're there for. But there are some good moments in the second half of the album. For instance, I'm a big fan of the songs We Ain't with Eminem. That's a typical Eminem and Louis Resto track right there, the album. But really great, you know, a wild verse by Eminem on that. I love listening to the tracks, that production, those beats from 15 and 16 featuring Nate Dogg, which is where I'm from, and Special. 15 to me is almost like the prototypical late 90s, early 2000 Dr. Dre production that is really like some typical West Coast track. From a song that features Nate Dogg with the Game, quintessentials, late 90s, early 2000s, hip-hop tracks, especially in the beats. Rest in peace to Nate Dogg. Kind of just remember just how important he was, really, to that movement in West Coast hip-hop, man, from the 90s into the 2000s. You want to talk about a hook killer, somebody who could set a mood on a track. And it could be a number of different moves. Not many people were better at it than Nate Dogg. The track, really, to me, that I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit about it is Somewhat, though it's a nice track, especially because it's a change up. It's a song more so for the ladies. Is Don't Worry by Mary J. Blige. Cool track, don't mind you. You know, if those are your type of things and you like those, it does show some versatility by the Game to me, I think it's a little bit out of place, especially on this album. Not a bad song or a low light per se, but just something that's a little bit of a head scratcher in regards to where it was in the sequencing of the album. The album finisher and the closing track is like Father Like Son. Is that it's not an exceptional track by any means. As a matter of fact, I would say, to be quite honest, quality wise, I would say this is probably one of the weaker songs on the album. But it's the content, the message here, what he's talking about, something that I can definitely relate to as a father, is the birth of his son. And any father that has been through that process of the day that your son or your kids are being born can relate to the same type of feelings that he has, that anticipation, you know, trying to rush to get to do, you know, to go through the hospital, to make sure that you're capturing everything, the anticipation of seeing whether or not everything's going to be okay to the minute that your child finally arrives. I think all of us can relate to that. So that makes it one of my favorite storytelling efforts on the album, is because it's something that I can personally relate to a lot. Props to Game to being able to bring us into a window, because that kind of makes you relatable, right? When you talk about the day that your kids are being born and what thoughts are going through your mind. But other than that, man, overall, you look at it, like I said, great first half. The second half, a little bit slower paced. Not as hard-hitting as the first half, but there are some good efforts in there. Overall, the production on this is absolutely amazing. And then flow-wise, give Game his credit, man. A lot of people talks a lot about, you know, how much he name-dropped on this. And this has become a staple for the Game throughout his career, is how he name-drops all the same types of people on tracks. You know, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Big, Pac, you know, Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube. And they actually even have one of the Genius. And we'll put it this article in the show notes. They talked about the 20th anniversary of the documentary. They actually went through and counted how many times he name dropped people. So in the documentary, he name drops and mentions Dr. Dre 43 times, Eminem 14 times, the group G-Unit 13 times, Tupac 12 times, 50, 12 times, himself 11 times, Notorious B.I.G., Biggie 10 times, and last but not least, Eazy-E, he mentions them 7 times, which for some people seems a little bit low considering the fact that Eazy is definitely one of the Game's biggest idols and influences. As a matter of fact, when he was a kid, he met Eazy on the video shoot for Real Compton City G's, or as they say on the album, Real Motherfucking G's, which is a little bit ironic because that's a diss track towards Dre and that who ended up signing the Game to his Aftermath record deal, and then eventually ended him up on G-Unit. So the name drop thing is something that folks always talk about. And yes, that's a little annoying, because when you continuously do it and it becomes like your signature, it does get a little annoying after a while to hear it. But, you know, as somebody mentioned also in an article, and I think this is was in the Stereo Gum review for 20 years of the documentary, is he was studying the greats and these people that he name dropped on these albums. He wanted to craft himself around those efforts. He essentially spent a good portion of this album rapping about making a classic album. And that's what he spent his time studying. He didn't just want to rap. He wanted to make a classic. And that's the reason why I think you look at his stylization in regards to his flow, his cadence, some of the lines he also lifted as well that some people would say is biting. I mean, you could definitely look at it that way, but him reformatting those and pretty much his own what type of words, I guess you could say. Yay. That's part of, I guess, what helped to make us be able to stick to what Game had to say, especially in this first album.
Notable quotables.
So my notable quotable actually comes from the Game's actually closing track. And that was Like Father, Like Son. And it speaks, of course, as I said, about what the Game was feeling when he dealt with the birth of his son and the feelings that he went through. And like I said, it's not particularly a strong track, but it is a track that resonates with me, considering the fact that I have a son. My son is now coming on 2 years old. He'll be 2 in March. And I know what that feeling was like for me when my son was born. So my notable quotable actually comes from the very first verse of Like Father, Like Son featuring Busta Rhymes. June 30th, 11:07, I got that call. She 8 centimeters. My little man about to fall. Scuffing my Air Forces running through the hospital hall. Deja vu. Like I've been here before, I'm feeling reborn, like a Bed-Stuy brethren, my firstborn, Dre, I'm about to have a bad boy, family in the lobby, see my nigga Church, what up, shit, I left the camcorder in the truck, running through the maternity ward, out of breath, sweating, I swear to God, every minute starting to feel like a second, I see the hell staring down the barrel of Smith & Wesson, my son's ultrasound, the closest I've ever been to heaven. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I know it's the last minute. Put the chronic in the air, a little hash in it. Spread my wings. If only I could fly. Why fight to live, homie, if we living to die? It's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate feeling. Talking about some literally every minute starting to feel like a second. Like the time just, before you know it, the time just goes. You know, and you sort of feel like you go through this moment and this experience and the time in between when your, you know, wife goes into labor and to when your son is born and your child is born, that you really do pause for a moment. And you think time kind of stands still, but the time actually races. Before you turn around, it's been like 2-3 hours. And that's what I felt, man. So I, you know, props to Game for being able to take us into the mind of what he felt like. Like, he felt the same way like a lot of us did during that time, if you've experienced that, man. And there's been lots of great notable quotables here, but for me, I wanted to point that out because that's the one that resonated the most with me personally.
Final verdict.
So, final verdict on the Game documentary. About whether I think this is a certified classic, borderline classic, dope, good, just okay, or worse than that. And to me, for me, I have to put it at a rating of dope. And I paused a little bit on that because I wanted to sort of put this on the tinge of a borderline classic. And it's almost there for me. But I think that second half of the album definitely leaves for me a little bit to be desired 20 years later. It didn't necessarily go over as well as it did 20 years before. But this is definitely a dope project. This is something that, you know, looking back, you can remember that time and how it felt when this release came out and how big those singles were, man. Game made an impact. I mean, if you want to look at the G-Unit releases in that time period, I mean, you could even take for the in perpetuity from G-Unit until now. 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying is definitely at top of the list in regards to the most impactful release from that time period. If you're looking right now what the second biggest one is, you definitely can argue that the documentary is definitely in consideration to be the second biggest release of G-Unit. I mean, let's look at it. I mean, Hunger for War was big. That's definitely a consideration. Straight Outta Cashville probably deserves a consideration as well. You have 50 Cent's The Massacre, which was there. Folks want to talk about Curtis. I mean, those are all power-packed with the singles and everything else, but if you look at what the second biggest G-Unit release after Get Rich or Die Trying is, you can definitely make an argument that the documentary and its impact deserve to be there. But to me, I can't quite put it at borderline classic. I definitely have to put it as dope, man. So if I was rating this on the mic scale, I would say probably about 4 mics. If I put it on my 10 stars, I probably give it about an 8, 8.5. And it still is a very good listen to with that production. When Game gets in his pocket, man, he is in a rarefied air where a lot of MCs don't often get to. And he captured it for a very brief moment. Maintained a good level throughout his career. It hasn't been spectacular, but it has been a good level throughout his career, despite all the other antics and everything that he's gone through as well. Shout out to the documentary. Shout out to the Game. 20 years later, like I said, a dope project, man. But I want to hear from y'all. Let me know what y'all think. Hit us up on social media at Vault Classic Pod on all the platforms you think about and that you use. Let us know what you think about the Game's documentary. What do you remember from it? What are some of your favorite tracks? And do you agree with me? Do you think this is a dope project bordering on borderline classic? Or do you think for you it means a lot more and probably a classic to you, certified flat out? Hit us up. Let's continue the conversation and go from there. And that is going to wrap up yet another edition of The Vault. Please make sure you are visiting us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com. There you can learn more about the show, check out our past episodes, join our mailing list, leave a review, or if so inclined, you can leave us a voice note. Click the blue microphone in the bottom right-hand corner to leave us a voice note to let us know what you think about the show or to just show us some love. To support the show, click the coffee cup shaded in yellow in the bottom left-hand corner to access our Buy Me a Coffee page. On Buy Me a Coffee, you can give a small monetary donation to support the show to ensure that we can keep the vault open for many years to come. You can also visit us on social media at Vault Classic Pod on IG, Twitter, and on TikTok. Also hit us on YouTube and our Facebook page. Like and follow us on social media. Subscribe to the pod and the YouTube channel. We do it here all for you. We appreciate the support, and if you have a friend, tell a friend, and make sure that friend tells a friend. Always remember to keep your headphones on and your music loud, but not too loud. And as we close, we'd like to remind everyone to dream big, because dreams are the basis for creation. Always create, motivate, and elevate, because you were never destined or created to stay stationary or ordinary in this life. And on that note, We say peace.
Thank you for listening and coming into The Vault. Please subscribe and visit us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.